What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? And why did Jesus tell his disciples it would be better that he left so that he could send the Spirit in his place?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got some very, very good news for you today. Yes, the world is messed up. Yes, there are all kinds of problems all around us. Yes, some of you may be going through living hell right now, but I have good news for you. God did not leave us as orphans. It's exactly what it says in the Greek as Jesus spoke to his disciples. I will not leave you as orphans. Instead, his leaving means that the Holy Spirit was sent in a unique way into the earth, meaning that the Holy Spirit was sent in a unique way into our hearts, meaning that the Holy Spirit was sent in a unique way into the church, the followers of Jesus, so that in the absence of the physical presence of Jesus, we could have the real, powerful, ongoing, universal ministry of the Holy Spirit, not limited to one place or one group, but around the world at the same time. I think it would be really good for us to find out what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today, to remind ourselves, to encourage ourselves, perhaps to educate ourselves as to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today. Tuesdays here on the Line of Fire, we focus on Bible, theology, apologetics, practical living, and really, what, in a sense, when we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it encompasses all of those areas. So here's my question for you. If I asked you, okay, your top one or two items, because many of you could give me a long list, your top one or two items, what is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? Give me your top one or two, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online where you'll find other links relevant to today's show. AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Listen to the words of Jesus. I'm reading from John 14:26, then John 15:26, then John 16:13. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, it's very insightful first to look in the Old Testament scriptures to see what the Holy Spirit did there, because that's a glimpse, that's a foretaste. The Messianic era, the inbreaking of the Messianic era, which reaches its culmination when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom here on the earth, and we are right now in a transition age. The Messianic era, the inbreaking of the Messianic era, is marked by outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Peter, when he preaches at Pentecost, at Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, in Acts the second chapter, and as the people are speaking different languages empowered by the Spirit, and a crowd has come to see what's happening, and the sound of the wind, and all of this unusual, these unusual phenomena taking place. Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he adds in the words, in the last days, to clarify that this is what is happening now, that this period, this transition period, is the last days. This is the final segment of what God is doing in this age. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. This is an ongoing last day ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is continuing. So my question for you, 866-34-TRUTH, what is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? By the way, I've got three new articles posted on three different websites. I'll tell you about that when we come back, all today.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? 866-34-TRUTH. Boy, is this important. Because we are not just a religion, a religious group, trying hard, working hard, making every effort, good people trying to do good things. No, we are people dependent on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live within us. We have become temples of the Spirit individually. And corporately, the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, has become the temple of the Spirit. Paul lays it out individually in 1 Corinthians 6 and corporately in 1 Corinthians 3, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is doing things in the earth today that are glorifying Jesus and advancing the kingdom. God never intended for us to be able to do this on our own. God never intended for us just through our best efforts and working harder and trying harder to be able to do this on our own. Oh, we labor and we serve and we go for it. But we do it in the life and power of the Holy Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. And many times in my own life, when I have been in some of the most challenging situations and have been pressed in the most difficult times, I've said, God, demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Demonstrate that Jesus is risen from the dead, and this is not just another religion. 866-348-7884. If I asked you for your list, top one, top two, top three, because again, I think I just start writing down things and the list gets longer and longer and longer and longer. What would the top things that the Holy Spirit's doing in the earth today, in your judgment, what would they be? And does he still convict? Does he convict the world of sin? Is he still doing that? What about the church? Does the Holy Spirit convict believers of sin, or is that a mistaken notion? Let me ask that again. Does the Holy Spirit still convict believers of sin, or is that a mistaken notion? You can also weigh in on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Okay, before we read some scripture, before we take some calls, let me mention to you three, count them, three articles that got posted all today. The first on townhall.com, will Newt's moral failures hold him back? We did some surveying yesterday. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich? Is this a matter of forgiveness, redemption, restoration? Is this a matter of who cares about his private life? Is this a matter of no, he raised too many issues in the past, we couldn't vote for him today? That is on townhall.com. Will Newt's moral failures hold him back? We'll be sending out an e-blast tomorrow morning to everyone on our e-list. So if you're not on our e-list, just sign up at AskDrBrown.org. Second article, which is on our Voice of Revolution website, the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. Oh, yeah. This is a very, very intense article, and it'll be interesting to see the response. If people have ugly responses, responses that violate our rules, doesn't matter who they're attacking, they won't be posted. But it'll be interesting to see if folks can differ within the boundaries that we have. And then on the One News Now website, onenewsnow.com, my article, what could end Rush Limbaugh's career? What would be the thing where he says, if I wanted to retire today and end my career, I could, he said to a caller, I could answer you in a way that would end my career. What was he talking about? So three articles. You know, I got home from our service on Sunday at Fire. It was the International Day for Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We focused on that during the service, and then I preached a message about persecution and a wake-up call to America in terms of how we can be lulled to sleep in the midst of our materialistic culture and not realize this is another ploy of the enemy. And, of course, solidarity we called for the persecuted church. I got home. I was real tired because I had three consecutive mornings, especially Friday, Saturday, where I had to be up way, way earlier than my normal time because I'm normally, I turned in last night probably around 4 in the morning. And so if I have to get up at 6, 6.30 or 7 or something, that's early. I'm going to try to catch a nap in the afternoon and then preach Sunday morning. So I was real tired. I had a meal with the family, was real tired, and got home, wanted to take a nap, and I was stirred. I was stirred to start writing this article on the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. And then last night, after radio, worked out a little bit, had a meal, got home, chatted with Nancy and said, hey, I just want to write some things, write and pray. And so immediately wrote the article on what could end Rush Limbaugh's career, and then finished that and then wrote the article on will Newt's moral failures hold him back, just feeling stirred to get these out. So by all means, read these as you have the opportunity. Recommend them to your friends and weigh in on the discussion as you are able. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? Before I take your calls, let me point out a couple of things. The Hebrew word for spirit, many of you know, is ruach. By the way, the word for Holy Spirit is ruach hakodesh, not ruach hakodesh, not an accent on the desh, accent on the ko. It's a constant error among my Messianic Jewish friends and others. Ruach HaKodesh, not Ruach HaKodesh. The word is Kodesh, not Kodesh. Got that? Let's all say it together. Ruach HaKodesh. Ah, some of you still miss the accent. Let's do it again. Come on, Clay. Let's do it. Ruach HaKodesh. Great. Then in the New Testament, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Now, both ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek can mean wind in certain contexts, can mean breath in other contexts, and can mean spirit, and can mean spirit in a very personal, individual way, not just a power, not just a thing, not just an it, but in a very personal way where the Holy Spirit clearly has distinct personality and can even be spoken of in Hebrews as the eternal spirit. So when you look in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, you see verses like this, Psalm 106, 32 and 33, when the children of Israel sinned in the wilderness, it was against God's spirit that they rebelled. That's what it says. They rebelled against the spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. Isaiah 63:10, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. It's telling us that there's something of the personal presence of God in the Holy Spirit, and that the Father who sits enthroned and his presence fills the universe, the Son comes and reveals the Father, then the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. By personal, I mean that when we sin, we rebel against him. We grieve him. Micah 2:7 asks this, raises the question of whether the Spirit of the Lord can become impatient. Again, this is not just talking about a power. It's talking about a personal being, the Spirit of God. How about this? Nehemiah 9, we're going to go to the New Testament momentarily. We just lay some foundations here. Nehemiah 9, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. The Holy Spirit was given to instruct the people of God. There are other references that say this as well. When the psalmist didn't want to be cast out of God's presence, what does he say? Psalm 51, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So there are many verses in the Old Testament that lay this foundation. Nehemiah 9, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. Psalm 137 makes clear, excuse me, Psalm 139 verse 7 makes clear that the Holy Spirit is God's presence. How about this? 2 Samuel 23, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. The Spirit spoke. 1 Chronicles 28. God gave him the plan, David gave Solomon the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind. Wow. All that the Spirit had put in his mind. And in Ezekiel 11, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says. So we have verse after verse after verse like this in the Old Testament, but it kind of explodes in terms of the presence and power of the Spirit in the New Testament. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? Boy, this is something we need to know because we're not alone and we're not fighting battles on our own. And our battles are not with people, they're spiritual battles. What is the Holy Spirit doing? 866-34-TRUTH. Nordstrom in Plainville, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks.
I'm listening to the program, I'm new at this. And I just want to let you know what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life, I believe the Holy Spirit is here to convict, to show, and lead you into, you know, God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to save us from doing what is wrong in life, and to guide us into His truth, because He said to the apostles, I leave you with the Holy Spirit. And the
Absolutely.
Holy Spirit is here to show me in my life, in our lives, who's ever, you know, following the Lord and is a Christian, to not to be deceived.
Absolutely. That's an ongoing active work of the Spirit. Hey, Nordstrom, you did just fine. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for speaking truth to us. We'll be back, friends, with more. Hey, how does the Holy Spirit do that? Nordstrom is exactly right. But how does the Holy Spirit do that in our lives?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? We're asking what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today. I am not just suggesting but urging upon you that it's very important to know and understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, that He's working in our midst, that He's working in us and through us. He's working on our behalf. That Jesus made very plain that His leaving would mean the Holy Spirit coming in a way He had never been here before, because He's always been working in the earth and speaking and moving and acting and anointing the prophets and leading and doing things like that. But now things would change radically, dramatically. So what is the Holy Spirit doing since Jesus died and rose from the dead, 866-34-TRUTH? How does He do it? Is He still convicting? Is that still the work of the Spirit? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Is He still doing that? Does He convict the church as well? Is He still leading? Is He still speaking? Is He still teaching? Is He still healing? Is He still glorifying Jesus? If so, how? Is He still empowering? Is He still bearing witness? Do we still have fellowship with Him? Can we grieve Him? 866-34-TRUTH. Eric in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Eric, are you there?
Oh, yes, yes. How are you doing? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, now I'm just calling to let you know about your question. And I can't speak for other people, but from my experience, the Holy Spirit is still healing, like you said, healing and especially letting me know when you're in the wrong. And one of the most important things, when you have that relationship with the Lord, that relationship with Jesus, like for instance, when I pray, I yield to the Holy Spirit. I let Him speak to me. For example, there was this situation at this where I'm working at right now. God gave me this job. He opened up doors, and I was still in doubt that it was Him that opened the doors for this job. So I was in my bedroom, and I started praying in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. We got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the Holy Spirit right there spoke to me and told me like this, like very clear, the voice of God telling me, "O ye of little faith."
Now, how did that come to you? Did you hear an audible voice? Did the Scripture just come to mind? Was it just impressed inside of you?
It's like the Holy Spirit is inside your heart. And when I was praying, and I was like, because I started just like being drunk in the Spirit, and I started laughing and just praising Him, and then right there you just feel the power of God in you, just in your heart, telling you don't fret, my son.
All right, so you felt something of an inward witness. You felt the presence of God in your life in a way that brought joy. It says in Psalm 16, in His presence is fullness of joy. So you felt His presence. That joyful presence saying, "Don't fear, everything is all right." And then a scripture was brought to your mind. Jesus said to His disciples, but it's a reminder for us that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance what He said. That's part of having God's law written on our hearts. That, yes, we study the Scriptures. Of course, we ask God to speak to us, and we deposit that word in our hearts, but often the Holy Spirit will take that scripture and make it come alive, or will take a truth and bring it to us just at that right moment, and it's life-changing. Hey, Eric, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. Hey, some of his terminology may be familiar to some of you, some may be foreign to. Don't worry about the terminology. Let's talk about this reality. So let me focus on this question, all right, for a moment. And it's bizarre to me. I had this conversation with someone after speaking at a men's meeting this past Saturday. It's bizarre to me that anyone would deny that the Holy Spirit convicts the church of sin, convicts believers of sin. And this fellow said, yeah, I'm dealing with a guy, and he said that the Holy Spirit just convicts the world. And that's what it says in John 16, he'll convict the world, but he doesn't convict believers. Well, let me make this plain. He doesn't condemn us. The difference between condemnation and conviction, as I often point out, is simple. Condemnation is you're guilty, get away from me. Conviction is you're guilty, come near to me. One is the gavel coming down, you're guilty, condemned, doomed, damned, goodbye, it's over. And that's never for the believer. For the believer, when the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin, it's to show us what's wrong so that we can draw near and receive the love of God and repent of our sin and be healed and be transformed. But the idea that the Holy Spirit is not convicting believers today, where do people get that from? And I'll give you some explicit proof scripturally in a moment that he is. Ron in Neptune, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Ron.
Good. I just wanted to point out, I was looking at a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it kind of gives us the explanation of one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. And it says that, but we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And it kind of made me think about how the Holy Ghost, from glory to glory, it helps us so that we are changed into the image of Christ.
Yeah, and if you want to nail a central thing, Ron, that the Holy Spirit does, it is to constantly work to conform us into the image of Jesus, and hence Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in our lives causes us to look and act much more like Jesus. And it comes by being in his presence. You know, you become like the ones you hang out with, right? And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that bad company corrupts good manners. So we spend quality time with God in worship, in prayer, in fellowship with him, in his word. And it's not just a natural technique, you know, like brainwashing yourself. The Holy Spirit works supernaturally. And I, for one, Ron, find it wonderful when he shows me things that are wrong. I wish they weren't there. But when he shows me areas or attitudes that were wrong or things that I downplayed and didn't think were so bad, and then he shows them to me in his light, it's like the refining fire getting rid of the impurities so we can really shine. But Ron, thanks for sharing that wonderful scripture with us. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. How does the Holy Spirit work? What is he doing in the earth today? Can any of you give me scripture that the Holy Spirit convicts believers of sin? All right, bunch of calls. We'll get back to you on the other side of the break. Remember, if you're not on my email list, go to AskDrBrown.org right now, as soon as you have a break, and sign up. Take you 30 seconds or less to do it. And then you'll get an email early tomorrow morning that'll let you know with links to the three recent articles I wrote, one on Town Hall on Newt Gingrich, one on One News Now on Rush Limbaugh, and one on our Voice of Revolution website on the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. Okay, have you ordered my Jeremiah commentary? It's been out for a while now, but I assume most of you don't have it. It's over 500 pages and comes together with the commentary in Ezekiel and Lamentations. We've reduced the price on it because it's a big volume. We're paying the postage and, on top of it, including a two-hour DVD, which is not available separately, 1 hour introducing the book of Jeremiah, getting into great depth, and 1 hour opening up Jeremiah chapter 1. You have 1 hour on Jeremiah 1. So order this today. Special price, special resource that will really help you in your study of the Word. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the broadcast today as we talk about the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. Since Jesus said it was important that he left so that the Holy Spirit could come, the Holy Spirit would continue what Jesus did on the earth. Doesn't it say in Acts, the first chapter, that as Luke is talking about the first book he wrote, the Gospel of Luke, that this is all that Jesus began to do and to teach? How does it continue? It continues through the Holy Spirit. And if you go through the book of Acts, you'll find roughly 60 references to the Holy Spirit's activity in the book of Acts. And if you take that out, there's just almost nothing there. If you take that out, there's no crowd that gathers at Shavuot, Pentecost, to hear Peter preach. There is no outpouring of the Spirit. There is no transformation of the people there. There are no healings. There's no speaking, leading, guiding. You got a shipwreck. You got someone being thrown in prison. You got a few other things happening, people traveling. You take the Holy Spirit out. But isn't that what a lot of our churches, congregations look like today? That everything that's done can be done just by human power and effort? I don't mean we need to be rolling down the aisles, going crazy. I don't mean that every service has to be 10 hours long. I don't mean that if you're not yelling in tongues at the top of your lungs and shouting, I've just been healed, that the Holy Spirit's not present. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am saying that there should be evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That let's just understand this. Jesus dies and rises from the dead. Yes? He dies and rises from the dead and sends his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears witness along with the preaching that Jesus has risen. So what does this mean? The eyewitnesses, people like Peter and Jacob, known as James and John, they saw Jesus die. They saw him rise from the dead. Yes? Then they bear witness to this. And so also, Peter says, does the Holy Spirit. How does he bear witness? Hebrews tells us, but by powerful works, by his people, God's people, now doing in Jesus' name what Jesus did himself. How? By the power and life of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is here working with us, not only to comfort, not only to bear witness with our spirits that we are God's children, but to lead us, and to teach us, and to empower us, and to convict us, and to change us into the image of Jesus, and to work mightily through us. It's just all over the New Testament. And I see no break. I see nowhere where it says, well, the Holy Spirit will stop working at a certain point. In this age, he has taken the place of Jesus here on the earth, and that's why it talks about having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, so thanks for being patient. But I just want to make this point. I raise the question, how is it that some people say that the Holy Spirit does not convict believers of sin? How is it that some people say that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin but not believers? Now, often those same people are uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit convicting sinners. Those same people who say the Holy Spirit does not convict believers are also uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit convicting sinners. They don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. They just want to preach a happy message and keep everybody happy and let them know how if Jesus comes into their life, they can be happier than they've ever been. What a message lacking depth and truth. So why do I say that the Holy Spirit convicts believers? Well, if I had no other source than Revelation 2 and 3, this is not apocalyptic end time imagery here. This is Jesus speaking to the churches, just as Paul wrote letters to the congregations. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the congregations in Asia Minor. And each letter, 5 out of the 7, have words of repentance and rebuke and revealing of sin with an offer of something better if they repent. And how do they end? This is what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. This is what the Holy Spirit says. And it's convicting. Yes, it is. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, here's something interesting. In the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament, you'll see expressions like, thus says the Lord. If you look in the New Testament, the book of Acts, you'll find the expression, thus says the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit says. You see, this is the era of the outpouring of the Spirit. This is the era of the giving of the Spirit, meaning in a new, unique way. John 7, Jesus speaks of that. And Peter, when he preaches in Acts 2, what does he say? Repent and be baptized, be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is something very important. Jesus said in Luke 11, 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I would encourage you to go to God, our Father, and say, Father, give me everything you have for me so that I can be more and more like Jesus. Give me everything you have for me so I can be an empowered witness. Give me everything you have for me so I can effectively serve you in this world. We're not looking for goosebumps or feelings or manifestations. We're looking for God to work in us and through us in a way that will bring the maximum glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working today in the earth. He is convicting, He is leading, He is guiding, He is speaking, He is healing, He's teaching, He's glorifying Jesus, He's empowering, He's bearing witness, He's causing us to bear fruit. We have fellowship with Him, we can grieve Him. This is what the New Testament plainly teaches. Norman in Providence, Rhode Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, sir.
I want to be bold to say if there is no conviction, there is no Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's job is, first of all, is convict us of sin, and after that is He takes care of the part of repentance, the repentance that brings us sorrow. And from them, yes, there's restoration. That's all part of the sanctification process. I think the problem is a lot of churches, they take grace. One of the things I've seen is a verse that just burns in my soul when I really seen what grace really does. These churches take grace, they use it as a license, you sin, yeah, but grace is always there, and they forget that there's conviction that comes into the Holy Spirit. And that verse is in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, where it talks about what grace truly does.
Yes.
And it talks about, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. This is what hit me, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That means today, yesterday, whatever's coming up, our time on earth, working out our sanctification here. That's God's will, that we work out our sanctification. We abstain from sexual immorality and so many other things. And that's the problem I think the church has put forth today. They make it so easy to trust in Christ, and they just, grace is just an easy thing. And after that, you're all set. Don't worry about a thing. You're going to heaven. You got it made. They don't realize that if there's not repentance happening, probably on a daily basis, what's going on in your soul?
Yeah, and repentance is not condemnation or a guilty mentality. Repentance is fellowship with the Lord and sensitivity, where we say, Lord, sorry I grieved you. Sorry I was insensitive. Forgive me. Wash me. And there's joy, and there's liberation, and there's freedom, and there's wholeness. Look, the New Testament tells us, for example, Ephesians 4, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, so he can be grieved. 2 Corinthians 13 talks about the fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And you're absolutely right. There is an abuse and misunderstanding of grace. There's a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit and His work. And we need the Spirit working in our lives to conform us to the image of Jesus. And as we do, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's confidence, there's freedom, and we ourselves are not bound. We can set others free. Norman, thank you for the call, and thank you for reading, of course, from Titus, the second chapter. Much appreciated. James in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks, James.
I just want to say praise God, and good afternoon to you. Just want to kind of touch base on what you were talking about. I don't think it's so much that God doesn't convict the world for sin and believers. I think it's more like, us as believers, we have a tendency to see the conviction more and feel the conviction more than I guess, people of the world. I mean, I'm fairly young in my Christianity. Jesus reached down 4 years ago and pulled me out of a terrible, terrible situation. I was living, you know, the life of sin, which I mm-hmm. thought was the way to live, you know, because I was living as the way the world wanted me to live.
And James, how did the Holy Spirit get involved in your life? To what caused you to realize that was wrong?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, I knew all along it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess I just felt like, you know, I had nothing. I really had nothing to live for. Not in the sense that I was suicidal, but I spent so many years of my life living that way. You know, I just figured, okay, maybe this is as good as it gets. This is what my life is going to be.
So you were basically dull and hard because of the discouragement and because of the pattern of your life. And the Holy Spirit, you say it's 4 years ago that God worked in your life and changed you?
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that,
he
hey,
sent,
James,
he
that.
Sent my wife, my current wife to me.
Praise God. Well, listen,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, James, that the Lord works in amazing ways. He doesn't see what people need to understand when we talk about conviction of sin as one of the things the Holy Spirit does, that this is not driving us away and you wretched terror, you bad. No, it's by showing us our guilt and sin. It's in the context of the love of God that draws us close. You know, you just come into his holy presence, you're undone. But it's not an undoing that drives us away. It's an undoing that drives us to him so that we can be changed. Hey, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. And look, we could talk for hours about the leading of the Holy Spirit. We could talk for hours about the Holy Spirit teaching us. We could talk for hours about the various ways the Holy Spirit moves in power and gifts, which there's nowhere that the New Testament says that these things should not be continuing. Just because you see some excess, just because you see some extreme, just because you see some abuse, don't throw out the reality. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Embrace everything that God's doing. Whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in the earth today, I want him to be doing it in me and through me and in the lives he's called me to minister to and serve and touch. Denver in Spring Valley, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good day, LeBron.
Hello, good day.
I think one thing Paul said to the Romans, that we must walk by the Spirit. And mm-hmm. we will not satisfy the desire of the flesh. So one of the work of the Holy Spirit is to deter us from sinning in the flesh.
Yes.
And as for an example, like Joseph himself, the Bible tells us that we must flee youthful lusts. So like Joseph himself, when he was in Egypt, and when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him,
mm-hmm.
you know, he ran, flee youthful lust. So this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. It will give you, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he will bring scripture to your mind for that particular situation. I like 10:13 that said there's no temptation that's common
yes.
to man, but when you're tempted, God will show you a way of escape. So, for example, you're watching something on TV that's not glorifying to God. You know, God will tell you, switch. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. Turn the TV off.
Denver, let me ask you this. Do you think that we can become more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, or on the other hand, less and less sensitive to the Holy Spirit by the way that we live?
Yes, a lot of times we are less sensitive because, as you said, it's in Thessalonians, we grieve the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we are not being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times I think people are unaware of the Holy Spirit. You know, they try to live their life, you know, and they live it in the flesh.
Yep.
You know, the Christian life in the flesh. And we can't. We have to walk as the Spirit leads.
Yeah, and, you know, Denver, I think on a foundational level, A lot of people wonder, well, how am I led by the Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? First and foremost, according to Romans 8, being led by the Spirit means being led not just to hear his voice or to get guidance, but it means first and foremost to put to death the deeds of the flesh. It means first and foremost to say no to the things that destroy and to say yes to God. That's why it says in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It doesn't mean that we're getting revelation and hearing his voice 24 hours a day. It means that the Holy Spirit is constantly working in us to say no to the flesh and yes to the ways of God. Thank you, sir, for the call. Back with more. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, check out some references from the New Testament. I'm not going to read all the references, but the summary of what the Holy Spirit does in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit comes upon people. The Holy Spirit anoints. The Holy Spirit fills. The Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit leads. And you have parallels to all this in the Hebrew Scriptures. It is just intensified and expanded in scope in the New Testament with the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaks through the disciples just as the Spirit spoke through the prophets of old. Verses such as Acts 4:25, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father, your servant, our father David. Acts 28:25, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet. These verses reflect the typical understanding of the New Testament authors, an understanding that is in perfect harmony with the teaching of Moses and the prophets. The Holy Spirit is given to the believers just as the Spirit was given to Moses and the elders. The Holy Spirit is poured out just as Joel promised, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Spirit now lives within God's holy people as the prophets declared. The Holy Spirit teaches and is a counselor. The Spirit testifies to the truth about the Messiah, leads his followers into all truth. Just as David received instructions about the building of the temple through the Holy Spirit, so also Jesus the Messiah, after his resurrection, gave his disciples instructions through the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm going to get to some more calls, but those of you who are on hold, because I'm going to be continuing the discussion and taking up some different angles in the next hour about the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to stay on the line, please do so. Our faithful call screener, Andrew, will be checking in with you to make sure you want to stay on, but if you've got something to say to contribute to the discussion, stay on a few more minutes and we will get to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just say this. As I do this show, I ask myself questions as the show is going on. I ask myself questions, is this ministering to our listeners? Is this helping our listeners? Is this in harmony with the purpose of the show, to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, to help minister change to God's people so we can go and change our world? Is this worthy of the time that I'm on the air? Is this worthy of you as listeners? And I pray about that during the shows. I meditate on that at other times of the day. I get input from others so that we can do this to the best of our abilities with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to stress to you that all of our best efforts cannot save a single soul. All of our best efforts cannot transform a life. The Holy Spirit has to do the work, but he works in us, with us, through us, and he blesses us. And Jesus, when you read John 14, 15, 16, if you haven't read that in a while, by all means, read it. When you read John 14, 15, 16, wow. You can sense the appreciation Jesus Yeshua has of the Holy Spirit and his excitement that he will be sending the Spirit in a new way to his people. And that means to you and me as well. All right, to the phones. Kenneth in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. You're on the air, Kenneth. Unless that was the breath of the Holy Spirit blowing, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, sir. How are you doing? My name is
doing well, thanks.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, quite sorry. I guess I just wanted to bring us back to where we were in the Garden of Eden, and kind of bring it back to this time, and in essence, kind of paying back for the first mistakes of mankind, and also bring in the light and the humor of the Lord Jesus, and how close He is with us on a daily basis. And there's no time to give up and say that we as people can't come together and bring that spiritual enlightenment around and protect us from whatever's to come in the future. There's no reason to be concerned about it, but spiritual awakening is very appropriate at this time.
Yeah, and let's just say this. Genesis 3, there's an extraordinary description there of the Lord walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, a certain fellowship that was had there. And obviously we don't have face-to-face communion with God in that sense, but through the Holy Spirit, we can have real, deep, lasting communion with God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who awakens us. When we talk about revival, we're talking about an unusual visitation of the Holy Spirit. Thanks for weighing in. Let me grab one more call. Jane in Maleni, Hawaii, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. You know, Mike, when I heard you on the radio talking about this, my thoughts brought me to the trip that I had recently to a third world country. And although through the years, you know, I've been very faithful in being able to resist the bends that I have in my life. But then when I was in this third world country, I had such an incredible, strong temptation. And I married so affectionately drawn to this other man. And I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, because the scripture that comes to my mind is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if it weren't for my relationship, my redemption, my salvation with Jesus Christ, I know that I would have fallen. I know that.
Yeah, thank God for His mercy. Thank God. You know, obviously, one of the key things everyone has to realize is that we're all potentially vulnerable. And the moment we think this could never happen to me, we make a mistake. That's why we have to walk closely to the Lord and not play games with sin. Otherwise, it'll get us. It'll get us. You play with fire, you get burned. And here, you are not expecting a certain thing to happen, but because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, there is that conviction, there is that warning, there was that thing that helped you not to fall. Thank God for His mercy. Hey, friends, I want to encourage you not to limit the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and to go through the New Testament and to just make notes of what the Holy Spirit does. It was a great exercise for me when I was writing Volume 2 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus about a dozen years ago, to write about the person and work of the Holy Spirit and see, wow, look at what He does. Look at what He does. So go through this and say, Lord, the same Spirit, I'm one of Your children. And develop a relationship with God through the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Spirit. And just for this moment, take hold of the fact that there's more. There's more. There's more. Okay. I want to encourage all of you that are able to take advantage of this week's special offer. It's my Jeremiah commentary, which is 550 pages, plus commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel by other scholars, so over 900 pages of commentary. And the Jeremiah commentary, I really try to take everyone in the Word and into the heart of the prophet, give you an understanding of his experience, his heart and life. We've added in a two-hour DVD, which is not available elsewhere. It's not available for sale, where I take an hour to introduce Jeremiah and then an hour to go through the first chapter of Jeremiah. You can get them all together at a reduced price, postage paid, by calling 1-800-278-9978. This will really enrich your life. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, Jesus said it was necessary for Him to leave so that the Holy Spirit could be given. What could be better than having Jesus here in the flesh with us, having the Holy Spirit given to all of us? Let's dive in and take advantage of the glorious work and power and person of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? And why did Jesus tell His disciples it would be better that He left so that He could send the Spirit in His place?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel spoke. And these are words which we experience in part. We have not yet gotten to the fullness of this prophecy, but we experience this in part spiritually. Where Ezekiel is talking about the Jewish people returning from exile and then a final restoration of the Jewish people that we've yet to see fulfilled. We're watching it unfold, but we've yet to see it fulfilled. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, a present day ministry. How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. I just spent an hour with our listeners in different parts of the country asking the question, what is the Holy Spirit doing on the earth today? What is the Holy Spirit doing on the earth today? And we talked some about how he works, but how does he work in your life? If you're talking to a non-believer, someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his or her life, what would you tell them? How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? What does he do? We're not just talking about an it or a power. We're talking about someone who leads and instructs. We're talking about someone with whom we can have fellowship and relationship. We're talking about someone whom we can grieve. We're talking about someone who speaks and acts. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is convicting the world and the church as well of sin to bring us to repentance. The Holy Spirit leads, the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit heals, the Holy Spirit empowers, the Holy Spirit teaches, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, the Holy Spirit bears witness, the Holy Spirit is one with whom we have fellowship, we can grieve him, he bears fruit in our lives, he transforms us into the image of Jesus, and I believe everything I listed there that the Holy Spirit did in the New Testament, he continues to do today. I believe he's still convicting. I believe he's still leading. I believe he's still speaking. I believe he's still glorifying Jesus. I believe he's still healing. I believe he's still working miracles. The New Testament speaks of it. He continues to do those things today. And we are encouraged in the New Testament to be filled with the Spirit, to be continuously filled with the Spirit. So there is an ongoing daily work of the Spirit in our lives and something that we need to encourage and cultivate. So how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? What's it like to be a child of God? Is it just a matter of, well, I read the Bible and I do what's right and I think about it? Well, I appreciate that. I read the Bible too and I think about things and I try to do what's right. But I fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Here, look, I've been married now, Nancy and I've been married for 35 blessed years. What a wonderful wife and best friend and companion she is. What a wonderful relationship we have. I don't need to ask her certain things to know how she feels. And there are enough times where as I'm talking, I hear her voice. No, not her literal voice, but just knowing, no, it's not a smart thing. Yeah, you don't want to say that. We can be out together. I can call her on the phone. It could be just a glance. It could be just a word. And I know something's bothering her. She's weighed down with something. And the same with me. Hey, what's the matter? She can sense something immediately. You seem distracted because we have a long-term relationship. What's it like to have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have fellowship with him? 866-34-TRUTH. What's the Holy Spirit doing in your life? 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I often get moved on by the Spirit. Sometimes I get moved on to pray. In fact, the more time I spend in prayer, the more I get moved on prayer. So what do you mean moved on? I mean burdened. I mean stirred. I mean an internal pushing. I mean an internal drawing. I mean something that is as tangible and real to me as the wind blowing in my face. Much of the writing I do, I get moved to write. I get stirred to write. The articles I wrote last night, one on Newt Gingrich, one on the topic Rush Limbaugh won't touch. You can read them, by the way, on townhall.com. The Newt Gingrich article, Will His Moral Failures Hold Him Back? townhall.com, or the article on Rush Limbaugh that is on onenewsnow.com, the subject that Rush won't touch. I felt moved to write on them. I got home and just told Nancy I just wanted to write, just immediately wrote one and then went to write another, felt stirred, moved to do it. The article I wrote the day before that on the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet and then sharpened that up and we posted that on our Voice of Revolution website, I felt moved to do it. Now, I don't mean that, therefore, what I write is infallible, that it's thus saith the Lord. I just mean I get stirred. I get moved. And if someone said to you, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you know? You can talk about changed life. You can talk about your relationship with God in different ways, the authority of Scripture, or even miracles he's worked. But on an ultimate level, isn't it Romans 8:16? That the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that to the depth of our being, to the core of our being, we know that we know that we know that we've been born from above. Now, again, that doesn't guarantee infallibility, but it's certainly something that the Scripture speaks of and something that we should experience in our lives. The Holy Spirit has been given. What's he doing? He's just here. Well, here in what sense? It's like the air we breathe. Yeah, the air we breathe keeps us alive. It may be invisible to the naked eye, but it is here, and it is enabling us to live and function. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He may be invisible to the naked eye, but how does he work in your life? What's he doing? It's essential that we understand this and take advantage of this because Jesus promised this and said it was very important. And when Peter preached in Acts, the second chapter, he said to everyone, that Jesus, we know he ascended to the Father because he's poured out the Spirit, as you can see and hear. Look, here's the evidence. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You know, in the days before texting and emails and things like that, if you arrived at a certain location, your family would know you got there. Maybe in the days before phones as well, your family would know that you got there when they got a postcard from you. And the postcard was stamped from that other destination. Ah, my son's okay. My daughter's okay. They got there all right. Well, today, and since the New Testament times, the evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended to heaven is that the Holy Spirit is at work in the earth doing what he did and many other things among us. 866-34-TRUTH. Wayne in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Just real quick, two comments. First, if Jesus never left and sent the Holy Spirit, can you imagine how many tours we'll be taking to get to Israel? And the second comment I had was, one question you asked was, how does the Spirit work? And I did recently read an article of a Muslim who was living in Afghanistan. Who was fighting the Taliban, and the Taliban had destroyed a building occupied by his friends, and he was trying to dig them out. And two women helped him, and he arrogantly asked who they were, and they said, well, we're just Christians, want to help. And that stirred him. Eventually, he obtained a Bible, and he read it. And in the darkness of the night, the quietness of the evening, he felt some hot feeling come over him, and he realized that the Bible is the true word of God, and that he was being fed lies all his life, and he converted in the darkness of that night. And he was set about talking to his neighbors and his family about it. Of course, you know that he eventually was imprisoned and beaten, and eventually he was released through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And yeah, so that is the present day. Yeah, the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, speaking, acting, moving, convicting, revealing Jesus. Yeah, he is doing far more than we realize, and he wants to do it in us and through us. Hey, Wayne, thank you for the comments. Thank you for calling in. It was great to be in Honolulu a few weeks back as well. But thanks for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Abraham in Newport News, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. I think some of the things that we don't see so much and we're not focusing on is the fact that I really believe we as a body are in far more rebellion than we are listening to God's Spirit. And I feel like why that's true is because I feel like there's so much more emotionalism that we tired or we attach to say that God's doing something. And yet we don't see the fact that Scripture tells us that being obedient to God's commandments is the sign of God's Spirit in our life. And that's what Acts 6 tells us specifically when the sages of ours were being brought to trial and they said before the Sanhedrin, they said, you know, we know that God's Spirit rests on those who actually keep His commandments. And I feel like one of the things that's a big responsibility is for people who have the knowledge of Hebrew, have the knowledge of understanding the biblical text, that they're responsible to teach the people exactly how we're supposed to be keeping. And I don't feel like that's what's going on anymore. I feel like we're too caught up in a society today where we like to say that we're keeping the Sabbath, but we don't even identify what that means. We like to say
just hang on for 1 second. I'm happy to get into a discussion another day about the applicability of Torah for today, but that takes us too far afield at the moment. The thing I want to point out is this. Isaiah 63, it talks about the children of Israel rebelling against the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence in the earth today. God's personal presence among us, so that when we sin, we grieve the Spirit. When we rebel against the Spirit. We have fellowship with the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with us. That's the thing that's so important to understand. The Holy Spirit, not just some power or force or thing, but God's personal presence. And we must cultivate sensitivity. I do not follow the practice of you pray, you ask a question, and then you get quiet, and the first voice that you hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit. That may work for some, but that never worked for me. I would say, Lord, do you want me to go? Are you calling me to go? And I would hear, go, go, low, no, no, go, low, no, no, go. Okay, this is not working. But I know this, as I spend more time in His presence, quality time, focus time, as I take in His Word, because the Word and the Spirit are always in harmony, and digest and meditate on His Word, then there's a greater sensitivity cultivated to the Holy Spirit, greater sensitivity to be in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And then as we walk in the light that we have, a very simple principle about being led by the Spirit, walk in the direction of the light that you have, and it will get brighter. Walk in the direction of the light that you have, and you'll know more and more the will and plan of God for your life. If you know to do a certain thing, step into that. Look, it's just like when you're following directions, maybe the GPS, go straight for 3 miles. Well, what do I do after that? Go straight for 3 miles. When you get closer, then you'll find out the next direction. And if we'll walk in the light that we have, we'll find out what the Lord is really in, what He's really calling us to. And I'm not getting into an extended teaching now or discussion about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have resources on that you can order. But I am talking about cultivating greater and greater sensitivity. And look, when we don't listen, when we quench the Spirit, when we put out the Spirit's fire in our lives, when we repeatedly say no, 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 when we repeatedly deny His leading, when we repeatedly say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and we distance ourselves from Him, Well, we're going to hear his voice, be led by him, be convicted by him less and less and less and less. You say, what do I do? I think I've been grieving the Spirit for years. I think I've blasphemed the Spirit. Well, if you blaspheme the Spirit, you'd have no interest in God. It would mean that you have turned your heart against him and you have knowingly attributed the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil himself, as Mark 3 would indicate. But perhaps you have grieved him for years. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Start right where you are. Turn back in the right direction. It'll be the first step in restoration for you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. No, you haven't sinned too much to the point it's all over. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you afresh, and the Holy Spirit can give you fresh new hope. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted as always to be with you as we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in the lives of God's people? What's he doing in the earth today? When Jesus said that he wouldn't leave us as orphans in John 14, but he would send the Spirit, man, those are big words. Jesus, don't leave. Yeshua, stay with us. No, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Well, the Holy Spirit was ready among them, but he was going to come in a dynamic new way. Look, there's no question about it. When you read through the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, you see many things that the Holy Spirit does, and yet it intensifies, it accelerates, it explodes. In the New Testament, explodes in a good way. And this is something for today. Please show me where it changed. Acts 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. Those last days began with the outpouring there at Pentecost, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. That's when it began. Please show me where that outpouring has stopped, or where it was the will of God that it stopped, or where it is not to continue right until Jesus comes. Are we not still in those last days? Days, you know, we point to, well, the last is end time deception, and yeah, that's true. There is a lot of end time deception. That's the same deception in different forms that was there in New Testament days, because we've been living in the end times for 2,000 years. Why do we always point to the negative? Why do we always point to the bad? Why do we always point to the stuff that's wrong and the deception that the enemy is working, instead of pointing more to what the Holy Spirit is doing? We're not here fighting this on our own. The Holy Spirit's at work. 866-34-TRUTH. How does he work in your life? What is he doing in the earth today? Dan in Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Michael Brown, for taking my call. In regards to the Holy Spirit, I know his presence is within me. Like you, I feel the prompting. I feel the guilt that comes with sin. I feel his leading and guiding. At times stronger in my life than others. But I also, on the other hand, I have some friends that I like, you know, a lot, and they tell me that I haven't been baptized with the Spirit because I haven't spoken tongues. Mm-hmm. And I've read that passage over in Corinthians over and over again. Why, you know, and I was very confused as a young believer in what my gifts were and or are. And so I really sought, you know, the gift of tongues. But here I am thinking these are gifts. You know, why am I asking, you know, for a gift? And I hear Paul say, but eagerly seek these things and these greater gifts. But at the same time, you know, being told that I don't have been baptized in Spirit, you know, when I feel God's presence in me, it overrides my conscience. You know what I mean? My conscience tells me, I don't do that. And then I do it, you know, but this, the Holy Spirit's, you know, presence in my life is way different than what my conscience tells me. You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah, absolutely.
The awfulness of my sin.
Yeah, so Dan, just to explain, those that would say that there is an immersion in the Spirit, a baptism in the Spirit, for empowerment, for witnessing, and for the gifts and power of the Spirit to flow through us, that would be entirely separate from the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer, that according to 1 Corinthians 6, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that according to Romans 8, that we have the Spirit, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children, and that he leads us. different than Galatians 5, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So this would be something entirely different based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses. So what I would do if I were you is, of course, rejoice in everything God's done in your life. Rejoice in his presence and work in your life. Recognize that there are different aspects of the Holy Spirit's work. Upon salvation, he comes and dwells within us and separates us from sin, separates us to God. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ so that we become joined with Jesus and the body. And then there's a baptism in the Spirit, being immersed in the Spirit, that many would speak about. And what I just encourage you to do, because we want to be word-based in everything we do, is go through the book of Acts, and where you see the Holy Spirit coming upon people, the Holy Spirit empowering people, in accordance with Luke 11:13, just say, God, empower me fully with your Spirit so I can be your witness. Empower me fully so I can be used more effectively to touch more people and to demonstrate that Jesus has risen from the dead. And then leave it to the Lord to work that out in your life. All of us, I think, long to see the Holy Spirit work through us even more powerfully. And I personally speak in tongues and have for almost 40 years now. But
how does that work? How does that work? I mean, is that something you voluntarily, or are you overtook it? You know what I mean? Is it you just utter words, or is it the Spirit, like, I mean, how does that work? I mean,
it's speaking a language with the help of the Spirit. In other words, it's not just saying I'm going to utter words. I'm la 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 la, blah 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 blah. It's not that. Nor is it that I'm going to sit here and then something happens and suddenly I'm speaking to the listening audience and I have no control. No, Paul makes plain we have control. We absolutely have control. But it is something that we step into by God's grace. For me, I felt something rising and rising. And January 24th of 72, I remember this well. And let me say this again to my listeners to whom this is foreign and different. Hey, let's major on the majors that we agree on. And if we have a different perspective on this, we have a different perspective. But in my own life, Dan, what happened was, as I was praying and asking God to fill me, I began to feel this something just rising in my heart and just this gentle push to begin to speak out. And suddenly I found these words just pouring out of my lips. I didn't understand what I was saying. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, no one understands. But what happened was I had this tremendous witness rising in my heart and just a new grace. And I found that as I communed with God and prayed in the Spirit, that my mind would then get insight, revelation. I would pray in the Spirit, meditate on Scripture. And then as I would do that, I would feel led specifically to pray in English and in other ways for specific situations. So it was praying with the Spirit, praying with my mind that Paul recommends. But again, just say, Father, I want everything you have for me. Don't get frustrated or focused on a specific thing. Father, I want everything you have for me, and let him work in your life. I've got to run, but thank you, sir, for the call. And again, those that are listening that have a different perspective on this, bless you. Let's continue to follow Jesus, open his word, and love one another. Amen? If you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire, you'll see a special offer that we have. My Jeremiah commentary, which is 550 pages, plus commentaries by other scholars on Lamentations and Ezekiel, so over 900 pages of commentary, and it's practical. It'll get you in the text. It'll open up the text, and my commentary in particular really tries to open up the heart of the prophet as well. You can get the commentary. We've cut the price by $10, plus we're paying the postage because it's a big, fat book, nice addition to your library. But here's the neat thing. I specially recorded a two-hour DVD because I had to miss the first class in our session. One hour introducing the book of Jeremiah and 1 hour going into Jeremiah chapter 1. Really edifying stuff. Get them all together. We'll throw in that DVD as a gift to you. Call 1-800-278-9978 or order from our website, 1-800-278-9978. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How do we know that Jesus is risen from the dead? How is the world supposed to know that Jesus is risen from the dead? Well, you say, and I've read books that argue that it's the only logical explanation for the historical development. Now, that may be life-changing for some and impressive for others, but it's not going to work for your average non-believer. It certainly doesn't work for the rabbis and Jewish people I interact with. How are we supposed to know that Jesus is risen from the dead? How are we supposed to know it's not just a myth? Well, I understand that. I just dealt with that. But I'm saying there is more. According to the New Testament, there is more. You mean that we, like, see visions of him? Well, some might, but the vast, vast, vast majority of us won't, and I don't see that as a New Testament pattern that we're expected to see visions of him. You say, will it be that we just kind of feel him? We just feel him? Well, and I'm not demeaning that. Feel him in my heart, you know, the old hymn that says that. I know he's risen. I feel him in my heart today. I don't demean that at all. But how do we feel him in our heart? And is there something more than that? You bet. You bet. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Okay, how do we know? Because the Holy Spirit has been given. Jesus ascended to the Father and poured out the Spirit in evident demonstration and manifestation. Poured out the Spirit so that it would be evident that he was not dead, that he had risen. And now through the Spirit, the same things that he did on the earth were being done by his disciples. And I want to proclaim loudly and clearly that the Holy Spirit is active in the earth today, that the Holy Spirit is still convicting the world and the church of sin, that the Holy Spirit is still leading, that the Holy Spirit is still teaching, instructing, guiding, that the Holy Spirit is still transforming people, that the Holy Spirit is still healing and working miracles and revealing things, that the Holy Spirit is still glorifying Jesus. Jesus said about the Spirit, John 14, 15, 16, he told his disciples that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So that was just for them. Well, it was for them in a unique way, his first disciples, but 1 John 2 tells us that we have an anointing that teaches us, that the Spirit within us teaches and instructs. No, it does not take away from reading the Word. In fact, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the Word. And it does not take away from the gifts of teachers in the body, because the Holy Spirit uniquely equips certain people to help. But the Holy Spirit dwelling in us does teach us, does guide us, does remind us. And that's why we're told in the New Testament not to grieve the Spirit. You don't grieve a thing. Here, I'm pounding my desk. I'm not grieving the desk because it's a desk. A desk has no feelings. I may be grieving you if I keep pounding long enough. But a desk is not a person. We're talking about the personal presence of God. We have fellowship with him. He bears witness. He teaches us, instructs us, guides us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. How does he testify? How does the Holy Spirit testify? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, there were specific things here for the disciples, but this speaks to all of us in terms of the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit, who still empowers, who still gifts, who still strengthens, convicts, changes, leads, guides, teaches. The wonderful Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9 refers to him as the Eternal Spirit. What's he doing in your life? How does the Holy Spirit work in the earth today? How's he working in you? 866-34-TRUTH. Stay with us.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Tuesday, friends, on The Line of Fire, which means we focus on Bible, theology, apologetics, practical living. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's kind of talking about all those ways, right? Because the Word tells us much about the Holy Spirit. In terms of theology, it's critically important to know who God is, Father, Son, and Spirit, and to know the person and work of the Spirit. It comes to practical living. Come on. How can you practically live as a follower of Jesus without the Holy Spirit's action and activity in your life? And even apologetics, we're still looking for the Holy Spirit to open eyes. We're still looking for the Holy Spirit to convict. So what's the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today, and how does he work in your life? How does he convict you of sin? How does he lead you? How does he guide you? How does he instruct you? How does he empower you? How does he conform you to the image of Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've had some friends say that the church they were part of believed in the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. In other words, the Bible took the place of the Holy Spirit as opposed to God's Word and God's Spirit working hand in hand. I believe the more that you are in the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit, the more you will be drawn to the Word. I believe the more you are drawn to the Word in a true life-giving way, not just intellectualizing it and forming doctrine and theology, but the more you're drawn to the Word in a life-giving way, that it will produce the fruit and life and power of the Spirit in you. But many times we just get theological. We get theologically correct, and we are experientially bankrupt. Salvation is something that we experience, is it not? Having fellowship with God is something that we experience, is it not? Being filled with the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, that's a negative thing. These are things experienced. How do we know we grieve the Spirit? We feel grieved. We know we grieve the Spirit because we feel grieved, not just, you know, now that I think of it, that wasn't the best thing to do. No, if we're in fellowship with God, we feel grieved. Come on, husbands, could you do something that really hurt your wife and then you knew it hurt her without it hurting you, and wives with husbands and parents with kids and kids with parents? Of course, because it's relationship. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. In fact, weigh in on Facebook if you like. Our Facebook page is Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Before I forget, one of the things the Lord's really been moving on me to do in recent months is to write lots of articles for political websites and Christian news websites and others. Stuff in my heart, my spirit, I knew I was supposed to do years ago, but did it very, very rarely. The Lord spoke to me some years back, write for the world, not just the church. I was praying about projects I was supposed to be working on, because normally I'd have 3, 4, 5 books I want to write, things I want to do. And sometimes I'm so bursting with it, it's like, wow, I need 20, 30 lifetimes to do all this that God's put in my heart. And that's where we have to focus, get the mind of the Lord, do his will, and then try to multiply disciples to do the will of God and to go beyond where we are. But the Lord spoke to me, write for the world, not just the church, starting with the Charlotte Observer. That's a commission I got from the Lord years back, and that was my first editorial that I'd written in many years, was for the Charlotte Observer. Hadn't done that in some years, and that was just a reminder. When I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, even though many of you are reading it as believers, I wrote it not just for believers, but also for the world. So I felt the stirring of the Lord to do that, and then it's just increased. In the last, 4 or 5 months, it's increased. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 articles in a week. And you say, what do you mean get moved? I get stirred. I can't wait to get home and start writing. Wherever I am, I want to start writing or taking down notes or remembering these thoughts and get this out. It just stirs. It's pouring through me. I read about Friedrich Nietzsche. And he talked about being rushed on by these thoughts. His book, Thus Spake Zarathustra, just thoughts pouring through his mind so quickly and almost violently, couldn't write them out. I believe there was a type of inspiration he experienced, but it was demonic. There's an inspiration we can experience where we're just moved on and stirred. Again, doesn't mean everything we're doing is perfect or accurate. It just means that through the vessel we are, God's moving on us to speak, to write. three articles of mine all came out today. I wrote one on Sunday, then sharpened it yesterday, then I wrote two others last night. Can I encourage you to read these? If you're not on our email list, that's askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can sign up and be on the email list. And tomorrow morning, we'll send out links to all these articles. Or they're already up on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I got into the subject yesterday, the first hour, very, very intense, very heavy. I drew some material from my book, put it out in an article called The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet. Very intense article. The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet, which is not saying that most gay men are pedophiles. It is not saying that. It is not implying that. That's not the point of the article. The point of the article is quite different. You'll find it very eye-opening. That's on our Voice of Revolution website, so voiceofrevolution.com. Then an article came out. This all came out today on onenewsnow.com. What could end Rush Limbaugh's career? These are his words. You know, if I really wanted to retire today, I could answer. He was talking to a caller in a way that would end my career. He said, nobody's got the guts to say it, nobody including me. I don't have the guts to bring it up. What was he talking about? You can read that article on onenewsnow.com. And then we talked about the potential presidential candidacy of Newt Gingrich. Would you vote for him? An article I wrote, Will Newt's Moral Failures Hold Him Back? And this is published on Town Hall, posted on Town Hall, townhall.com. He said, well, I forgot some of those. They're all listed on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. And we'll be sending out an e-blast tomorrow with links to all of these and how you can recommend them to your friends. So be sure to go to askdrbrown.org right on the homepage. Sign up to be on our e-list. To me, this is some of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I feel led, moved to do these things. But that's just one aspect. I've got an email from one of our grads preaching to 500,000 people in Africa, in Nigeria. I mean, these are real counts that scientifically done, these counts where they know body counts per acreage, and the further back you get, the people spreading out and so on. You look at the crowd, say that's 1 million to 2 million. They say, no, it's only 500,000 only. And the Holy Spirit moving through this grad as he preaches Jesus. He doesn't preach other stuff. He preaches Jesus, preaches repentance and faith, preaches the glorious Son of God who died and rose from the dead, salvation, transformation, forgiveness, healing in him. And as he preached, multiplied thousands responded in faith, including a Hindu man, an Indian man, who was there in this city in Nigeria just doing work. The PA is so loud it blasts out from miles around. He was in a house where he heard the message and got on his knees and repented so that he could be saved and born again, and then was miraculously healed, as others were. That's also the work of the Holy Spirit. 866-34-TRUTH. Bud in Columbus, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. I've been listening to your broadcast for a good while, and I wandered across it by accident, but it got my attention. I've been listening to it.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's actually two questions, but my question is, I've been searching the Bible in the church that I was brought up in, the Pentecostal church, the idea of the day of Pentecost being the birthday of the church. Now, I've been researching this for years in the Bible, and I can't find it in any place. Now, is it true that if there's a doctrine that's being taught, and you can't find it literally written in the text of the scriptures, should you believe it? And if that's true, does the Bible report a birthday of the church?
Yeah, so let me answer your questions in the larger and then more specific order. You're 100% right, Bud. If there is something not taught clearly and explicitly in Scripture, we cannot hold to it as doctrine. We may say, I have this viewpoint, and I might have some support for it in Scripture, or I have some thoughts as I've meditated on it that lead me to think this, but to say this is doctrine, this is foundation, this is something that we hold to, this is something that we say the Word teaches, you better believe it needs to be clearly laid out. Now, we recognize, but as you have as well, that sometimes we may not see it, right? So that's why we listen to other teachers and we study the Word ourselves, and we pray for insight by the Holy Spirit. But there are a lot of things. You'll ask somebody, well, where is that in the Bible? Oh, I heard it preached for years. Yeah, well, where is it in the Bible? And it's not there. It's not there. So 100%. Now, this concept of the birthday of the church, there's no such concept about that in the Bible anyway. So somebody is coming up with a concept that they're now explaining. So is there truth to it? There's truth that something new began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This was the first time this had ever happened, where the Spirit was poured out in this dimension with this manifestation after Jesus was risen from the dead. And in a sense, it was a beginning of this new work he was doing. But on the flip side, God had a people in the earth since the beginning of time. And this was just a continuation of that. So it was a new dimension to it. But the church, the people of God, that's the same as the Old Testament right into the new, now just an expanded form. Great question. Thank you, sir.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. We are focused on the question of the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? Come on, if Jesus said he's not going to leave us as orphans, but he's going to send the Spirit. Well, and he said, you know him because he's among you, but he's going to be in you. There's going to be a new dimension of what he does. If he says in John 7, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And then it says he spoke this of the Spirit, which is not yet given because it wasn't yet glorified. There was a greater giving of the Spirit than had been in the past. There was a new dimension of the giving of the Spirit. There was going to be a more widespread manifestation of his power, and he's going to speak through us in more and more ways than he ever had. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Peter says, this is that Joel spoke of, the outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh, something that's to continue in these last days in which we live. If it's so important in the Scripture, don't you think we should be jealous for greater work of the Spirit in our lives? And as I say that, I'm asking myself, Lord, is your Spirit working through me to edify your people? Is your Spirit working through me as I'm speaking to convict of sin? Is your Spirit working through me to make people jealous for more of you? Because words alone are not what the new covenant faith is about. It is words empowered by the Spirit. I don't mean, God is thus saith the Lord. Power. It doesn't have to be sensational. It doesn't have to fit a particular form. It doesn't have to be only King James in style or charismatic Pentecostal in style. The style is not the issue. The reality is the issue. And I just want to encourage you, those of you who love the Word, go through the New Testament and mark the references to the Holy Spirit and his work. And notice how Jesus speaks of being empowered by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon me, he says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to the humble, to the meek, to set the captives free. Jesus said he drove out demons by the power of the Spirit. Oh, yes, he was the Son of God, but he also ministered and worked in the power and life of the Spirit. And then he says, this Holy Spirit that is upon me will be upon you and working in you. He had the Spirit without measure. We each have the Spirit in measure, but the Holy Spirit without measure, in that sense, given to the whole body to be manifest in different lives, to indwell all of us, to convict all of us, to lead all of us, to guide all of us, to teach all of us, to comfort all of us, to bear fruit in all of us, to make us more and more like Jesus, to demonstrate the reality of the resurrection of Jesus through us. Just go through the first few chapters of Luke and notice the references to the Holy Spirit as Jesus is coming into the earth, and there's this new work of the Spirit is exploding forth in glorious power. And then read the book of Acts and just mark every reference to the Holy Spirit and everything the Holy Spirit does, and then take that out. You're not left with much in the book of Acts, or you're not left with anything in terms of the birth of Jesus. Even Simeon, who is waiting for the consolation of Israel, he's moved by the Spirit. He speaks by the Spirit because this is now the era of the inbreaking of the Spirit, the inbreaking of the Messianic era in this transition age until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom on the earth. I am personally jealous for a greater demonstration of the Holy Spirit in me to glorify Jesus and to help me serve more effectively and to be more and more like Jesus. The Spirit and the Word going hand in hand. Why not? Why not? 866-34-TRUTH. Eric in Westville, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I wanted to mention that my home group is going through the Book of Romans, and we came across a passage that really got quickened to me. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in my life in Romans 8:26.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, the Spirit too is helping our weakness. We do not know how to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself pleads for us with unspeakable yearning. And He who searches our hearts knows what the Spirit thinks, for He pleads for His people in accordance with God's will. And that just was—I forgot. You know, I was saved in a charismatic church, and I've since, you know, seen a lot of that. Some of the teaching was kind of erroneous and legalistic, but the one thing that remains is God really uses the gift of tongues for me to intercede. I've never had a tongue in interpretation, and I don't go yelling it out and stuff, but it's been really helped to me. The Spirit giving me a prayer language that I can, it's almost like a release valve where when I'm really grieved, I can just start with myself and, you know, praying to the Father and the Spirit, and you can feel the weight lift, you know, you can, it's,
Let me ask you this, Eric.
For that.
Yeah, just because we're short on time, I just want to jump in. Do you find sometimes that when you pray in the Spirit that you then get an articulate and clear bird? In other words, that something then rises in your understanding to pray in a certain direction?
Yeah, it's almost like...
Oh, sorry. I thought we were losing you there, Eric. You just cut out for a moment. Let me just say this, though. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, I'll pray with my spirit, I'll pray with my mind. And he was talking about praying in tongues that no one can understand, but we're praying mysteries in the Spirit to God, and then praying with our own understanding. And God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thanks for the call, Eric, and also for the reminder about Romans 8:26 and the yearnings. I don't even believe that's a specific tongues reference there, but something even deeper of the Holy Spirit working in us and yearning, longing, groanings that can't be uttered. Just the pain, the burden of our heart that we share with the Holy Spirit, out of which much fruit comes, real deep intercession. I want to say this. I am very sensitive to the fact that I've got people from all walks of life listening. And I'm very sensitive to the fact that many of you love Jesus and have different views about the work of the Holy Spirit today, and that there are plenty of teachers on the radio that you'll hear, and some of them say that tongues and the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, and others say they are. I say they are, based on the Word. Yes, my experience too, but primarily based on the Word, not my experience. I just encourage you, keep studying the Word. If you come to conclusions where you differ with me, that's fine. We've got harmony on a million other things. We can focus on those. If you come to the conclusion that what I'm saying is accurate scripturally, wonderful, wonderful. Then so be it, and let's walk it out and live it out. But I encourage you, go to the Word, read John 14, 15, 16. How's that? Simple assignment. John 14 through 16, and say, Lord, show me what your Holy Spirit is here to do in me, through me, to glorify Jesus. Reminder, we've got a word-rich resource this week, my commentary on Jeremiah, 550 pages, just get you in the book, open up the text, get you into the heart of the prophet, along with commentaries by other scholars on Ezekiel and Lamentations. You'll find it really eye-opening, helpful, together with a two-hour DVD, which is not available to the public otherwise, where I introduce Jeremiah and then open up chapter 1. Reduce price and we'll pay the postage. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or order online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, there is a wonderful ocean of the work of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to dive into, swim in, and enjoy, in the midst of which we will become more and more like Jesus. Love what is right, hate what is wrong. Dive in, experience all that God has, be a person of the Word and the Spirit.